So welcome to the show, Jessica. Your name is Jessica Kelly, and you work for Cisco, and we've kind of connected on Twitter probably for about, it's got to be about 3 or 4 years, and you've kind of progressed as well in your jobs, and I don't know quite what you actually do now, so I'll let you introduce yourself.
Well, first of all, apologies for my puppy who chose that moment to bark. I hope that you got a good solid recording of that. He's very cute, by the way. Probably more interesting than I am. I do work for Cisco. Just recently started working for Cisco as an employee. I've been a consultant for a long time, primarily because I enjoy working from my own office, and Cisco allows me to do that. So it's great. I've been heavily involved in social media for publicity and promotion for years, and that is indeed where we met, on Twitter. And it was an accidental meeting, if I remember correctly. Just we were talking about a piece of content that got shared somewhere. But it's been great. It's been great sharing tweets with you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I've got a few questions. I know you're tight for time. Yep. So I'll begin with the first one. So how can people use content marketing for building their personal brand?
That's a great question. First, a disclaimer. I sort of feel that marketing is just marketing, and content marketing is the newest term, right? But if you know, marketing is marketing. And to me, under marketing, you've got PR and publicity and promotions and sales and all these wonderful things. And social media is part of that. Social media is, to me, is the evolution of publicity. It's interactive. You know, you may be broadcasting information that you want people to know, but you also better be listening and interacting with them too. That's why it's called social media, right? Mm-hmm. And so in terms of content, there's so many ways to do it. Obviously, if you are an author or a designer and you create an amazing piece of content that is all about you or a service you provide or knowledge you have, then that's a no-brainer. You're going to share that in every logical place. Every logical place that you think your audience might be, not just scattershot. Mm-hmm. And that's your content marketing. But then there are people who may be severely pressed for time. I would consider myself one of those people. But I also want to keep my skills sharp, and I want to know what's going on in the tech world, mm-hmm. and the world of digital media. And so for them, for people like me, I find content curation mm-hmm. is just the perfect thing. It allows me to keep up on the latest news and then curate it somewhere. I happen to use the Scoop-It tool. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first that was available for free, I'll be honest, and I really like the way that it worked. Some people use Pinterest. There's all different places you can post. But it enables me to not only share information that I think might be useful to people all in one place, but I don't have the best memory. So if I'm curating content and I'm curating news and resources that I think other marketing people or writers or editors or communications, I kind of cross a broad spectrum, all leading out from writing and communications, right? Mm-hmm. If I've curated something 2 years ago, I don't remember what it was on topic X, but I know I read something and I can go back to through my own curated content and find something that's helpful to me on my job. So curation to me is just a win-win on all fronts when you don't have time to create.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think, so you're talking about really having like an online, it's almost like a website, right? Like you're talking about Scoop-It, aren't you?
Right,
and you have
right.
your own name in there, and then all the stuff that you share will be shared from your Scoop-It page, right?
Right. And so in terms of a personal brand, you know, on Facebook, I'm just somebody's mom or somebody's friend, but mm-hmm. And I keep it that way. But on Twitter, mm-hmm. I can establish some sort of presence as someone who has some information, knowledge, resources, etc. around social media, communications, and content marketing, management, development, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know that my brand, you know, I don't know where someone would judge my brand. I work full time, so I don't have as much time to put into it as I would, as I might if, say, I were trying to teach people about branding or looking for new clients. Mm-hmm. But at least my presence is there, and it's very obvious the type of person. If someone were to follow my Twitter stream, I'm pretty open, I'm pretty honest, and I tend not to spam, and I'm only sharing something that I read that day. Mm-hmm. In very rare occasions, you know, I'll share something from 5 years ago that just is still so relevant. I'd forgotten about it and I feel like it's worth sharing. Mm-hmm. So it's an authentic presence. And, you know, to me, authenticity, I guess, is a big part of my personal brand.
Yeah.
I'm
nodding completely here. If you could see me, personal brand is all about authenticity. Without that, it's not a personal brand. It's generally fake. And
right.
I think there are a lot of people out there that do fake who they are. And when you meet them face to face, they actually are not the same people. And I know that you're the same person as you are online as you are offline, you know, because you're genuine. And that for me is absolutely key for all of this. I mean, you actually just answered my second question. Nearly. So that's a few of your tips. So what are your top tips for building your personal brand through content and social for career success or entrepreneurial ventures?
So absolutely be yourself. So no, every part of yourself, every part of myself is not ready for prime time and not appropriate for work. So that's a given, right? Mm-hmm. But find the parts of yourself that you're really, really good at, because you're going to be sustaining this, you hope, over a long period of time, right? So I think what personal branding means to me is simply being my professional self and sharing knowledge, information, skills, whatever I've got. Because I'm not one to work in silos. I'm not a territorial professional that tries to keep all my expertise bottled up to myself so that no one else, you know, can possibly, someone might steal my skill and steal my job. I'm just not about that. I'm very collaborative.
Yeah.
And so that works for me. You know, be authentic. Absolutely. If you think building your personal brand means getting a Twitter account, buying 10,000 followers, and spamming everyone with direct messages, that's just so very wrong.
Yeah.
So very wrong. Unless you want to do the type of marketing, if you're old enough to remember late night television and the infomercials that are still on some mm-hmm. channels 24/7, unless that's who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I don't see a lot of gain in that, especially not in the mid or long term.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this era of personalization, they're even bringing personalized television now, so that you switch
right.
your TV on and it will actually have a personalized message directed to your name. Yeah, which is incredible in some instances. So,
right.
you know, it's... We're in a very, very strange place. I mean, you know, when I grew up, I had like three TV channels. Yeah. You know, in England, we had three TV channels. We had a telephone.
Right.
Where you stuck your finger in it and you wound this wheel around. You know, and, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's just so many channels and so much technology overload, you know, and that's a big topic right now for me, certainly. So do you have
right.
any sort of tips for reducing the technology overload for people?
Oh, that's a good question, too. You know, I try to avoid, believe it or not, because I work in tech and I am very techie, mm-hmm. I try to avoid technology whenever possible when I'm not working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beyond personal health, right? There's your eyes, there's your brain, there's everything. I do not need to be connected 24/7. I need to be connected to my family, yes. Mm-hmm. But in terms of work-related In terms of work-related communications that are technology-enabled, right? Mm-hmm. I don't need to be on a leash. I don't need to work for people that think I need to be on a leash. You know, Cisco is very, very gracious and very aware of work-life balance, and that's wonderful. Yeah. But I say if everybody that you care about is within eyesight, mm-hmm. put your phone down. Yeah. You know, you're not going to get an emergency call. Go old-fashioned. Have dinner at the table. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to work, same thing. If you really want to meet someone, pick up the phone if they don't live near you. You know, if they do live near you, schedule a lunch or a coffee. It's so much more fulfilling and informative to meet someone in person or at least on the phone if you can. Technology only takes us so far. And if you can remember that and use it as a tool instead of letting it use you, you will be far happier.
Yeah, yeah. I'm nodding. I agree completely yeah. with that.
Well, completely. And, yeah. you know, you're very metrics focused. My current role is in marketing, so everything is very metrics focused. And we have 10,000 tools to tell us 100,000 different things. Mm-hmm. And what it really comes down to is, did the piece of content I created send someone where I wanted them to go, and did they stay there? Mm-hmm. Right? That's really all I need to know. There are a gazillion different metrics that are not helpful. And when it comes to your personal brand, it's the same thing. You know, you can't live by your clout score. Because if you're a human being, my clout score goes back and forth from 45 to 65 all the time. If you are a real human being who's not automating everything, yeah. you're going to take a weekend off.
Yeah.
And your clout score is going to fall.
Yeah.
If you can't spend your whole life chasing the Facebook algorithm because it's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, today it's video, tomorrow it's back to GIFs or GIFs. It, you know, so... Be authentic, be yourself, use the technology when it serves you, but don't be a slave to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was a bit pedantic, right. but I feel pretty strongly. You asked a question that pretty strongly.
No, me too.
About.
I think it's damaging a lot of relationships, most certainly. So what are your top tips for building a personal brand alongside a big corporate like Cisco or IBM or whatever?
Oh, that's, yeah, okay. So that's tough because here you are, you've been a consultant for many, many years. You have your so-called personal brand and now you've gotten a job. Hey, you know, I think I do want benefits and I've met these great people. I'm going to dive in and take a, you know, quote unquote, real job.
Yeah.
That swallows your whole life, especially for the first 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so trying to maintain your personal brand, say on Twitter, that's where I'm most active, is tough. I was never spending more, you know, as a parent and a full-time worker and a volunteer at various organizations, I was never spending more than, say, an hour to an hour and a half a day, you know, at different times of the day checking in.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly you find your time reduced to 10 or 15 minutes on some days.
Yep.
Some days you can't get to Twitter at all, such mm-hmm. as yesterday. Mm-hmm. I went over to message you, I believe, yeah. and that was it.
Yeah.
So that can be tough. That, again, is where I think that content curation is really helpful because at least you have a lasting presence. Everything's compiled in one place, and when you do get back to wherever you are promoting or publicizing or interacting, you have something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like you're a stockpile of information.
Yeah. So do you think your personal brands help you to get hired?
I think it can help you get hired in this particular role. You know, my Twitter account demonstrates that I have knowledge around communications and social media and content,
mm-hmm.
but at a company like Cisco, which is not very social media focused, I don't think anyone went – to my Twitter account and said, oh, this is the person we need. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're in a different field, or especially if you're at a startup, I think that definitely your personal brand and your presence, your digital presence, can help greatly. I've had offers, I've had headhunters, I've had, you know, interactions happen because of my digital presence that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Absolutely. But again, it's me. I never thought of it as a personal brand. I never worked to create one. It is just me. Mm-hmm. So there's no worry if somebody reaches out to me and wants to talk to me about social media. Well, it wasn't a bot that was curating the news I'm posting. I really did read it, and I know what I'm talking about on that particular subject. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's all good.
Yeah. So what impact do you think artificial intelligence will have on content? Well, actually, on marketing itself.
That is such a big question. I am not even sure where to start, because it's really hard to predict where it's going to go. I actually follow people back when they follow me on Twitter, and I do this by hand. That is one thing I do every day or every other day. And I have, you know, this is a little off topic but related. What I have seen happen is it used to be very obvious that a bot was following you. Right. I mean, it was so unbelievably obvious that this was a bot. It would have a picture, a generic stock photo of a picture or a cartoon, and the handle would be, you know, 8 scrambled letters, just random consonants. Now, then after that phase, I saw people's pictures, but it would be a man, and then the name under the person's picture would be obviously, you know, someone of a different sex and a different nationality. And it was very clear that they were pulling stock photos of people now, but they were getting real names that didn't in any way look like they could be those people. Lately, over the past month or so, I see followers that could be people. I mean, they really look like people. Their bio just doesn't say, I love to laugh, and the photo looks genuine and the name matches. But when you click through, you see that they are following 9,000 people and they have 2 followers, and they've been online for 3 days on Twitter. And so it's sneaking in. All this type of bot mentality is slowly taking the place of actual human interactions. And so in marketing, you have everything that comes. I mean, that was just a tiny example that isn't even really on point, but I think you get my point. In marketing, we're going to see more and more and more of data-driven bot interactions. Mm-hmm. But the problem that I see with that is that sometimes it's not the right data.
Yeah.
It's not the right data at all. And even at an amazing company like Cisco, who has all these tools at their disposal, watching people on the data, who are in the data gathering teams, trying to gather and compile and then analyze things, it often looks to me like an apples to oranges comparison that isn't going to actually give you good quantitative or qualitative feedback. And unless a human comes in and looks at that and says, you know, whoa, 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 where are we going? The shortest example of all is in some social media tools, they gauge sentiment, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, if you post something about healing cancer, that's negative sentiment for your brand because you use the word cancer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you say no in a post, right, or never, I've never had a better day, that's negative sentiment for your brand.
Yeah, I agree completely. They've got a lot of work to do around sentiment analysis for sure. And doing exactly that, just making sure that the data is actually going to work. You know, I think right. that in 5 years' time, things are going to be a lot more interesting. But I think that there are a lot of problems around this. It is a massive question. It's a huge question. I dropped it right at the end as well. So, you know, we can revisit maybe in a few months' time when I get through the rest of the schedule, you know. But, yeah, it's a massive subject that I'd love to talk more about with you for sure. So I'll leave you to it because I'm 1 minute over my time.
Oh, it's absolutely fine. I honestly don't have a meeting for another 14 minutes. I just need to prep.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's great. It's been so nice to talk with you. You know, it's after so many years of being connected on Twitter, it's so nice to put a voice. I already had the face because yeah. you've got your profile photo, but now I have a voice to go with it too. It was very nice.
Same here. It's very nice. I really appreciate you sharing your time with me. Thank you.
Thank you. Best of luck with your endeavor. It sounds fascinating. You have to keep me posted. And feel free to use my email in case I miss a direct message on Twitter because it's so full of spam now. Sometimes the DMs get lost, but I do always look for your messages. There's three or four people that I know are not robots. And when I see their name in the message feed, I know, this is actually a person. So.
Wow. Well, thanks ever so much again, Jessica. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to do this podcast with me. And to anyone that's listening, please tell your friends about this podcast episode. And if you want to be interviewed on my show, give me a shout. Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye-bye.